Om Sang Saraswati Namaha, on page 285, chapter 12. First, the meditation. I meditate upon the three-eyed goddess Durga, the reliever of difficulties. The luster of her beautiful body is like lightning. She sits upon the shoulders of a lion and appears very fierce. Many maidens holding the double-edged sword and shield in their hands are standing at readiness to serve her. She holds in her hands the discus, club, double-edged sword, a shield, an arrow, a bow, a net, and the mudra connecting the thumb and the pointer fingers with the other three fingers extended upwards, indicating the granting of wisdom. Her intrinsic nature is fire, and upon her head she wears the moon as a crown. Now, every pot, every recitation has what is called falshruti, the recitation of the fruits that are acquired from reciting these verses. And chapter 12 is the falshruti of the chandi pot. It tells just what we can hope to achieve by reciting the chandi. Om, the goddess said, whoever will constantly recite these hymns of praise to me with a concentrated mind, I shall without a doubt put an end to their every difficulty. Whoever will sing of the destruction of too much and too little, the slaughter of the great ego and the death of self-conceit and self-deprecation, whoever with one pointed attention and devotion will listen to this presentation of my excellent glory on the 8th, 14th, and 9th days of the lunar fortnight, to them neither will anything bad occur, nor will misfortunes arise out of inauspicious events. Neither will poverty arise, nor separation from beloved ones. So here she's saying the 8th, 14th, and 9th days, that's 6 days a month. If you recite the chandi, even 6 days a month, anything bad will not occur, nor misfortunes arise out of inauspicious events. Neither will poverty arise, nor separation from beloved. 6 days a month, just think if you did it every day. No fear will ever come to them from enemies, robbers, or kings, nor from weapon, fire, or floods. Therefore, this presentation of my glory should be recited with full attention and should be constantly listened to with devotion, as it is one's own path to self-realization. This presentation of my glories, the great destroyer of all disturbances, will bring peace to the threefold nature of confusion in the physical body, the mental body, and the spiritual body, or myself, others, and acts of God. The threefold nature of confusion, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. I shall never forsake the place where this narration is well recited. There my presence will constantly abide. When offerings are made during worship, in the fire sacrifice, at great festive occasions, this presentation of my glory should be completely recited and listened to. I will accept with love all acts of worship, offerings, and fire sacrifices, whether performed with understanding or without it. Even if you don't know what you're doing, and you're trying, and you have the intention of propitiating the Divine Mother, she will accept all the acts of love and worship and adoration, even if you're just doing from your own devotion. Just think even how much more she must be pleased with people who understand what they're doing and why they're doing it and what it means and do it with the same amount of love and devotion. In the great periods when yearly worship is performed in the autumn season, the Navaratri, this presentation of my glory should be listened to with devotion and full attention. People will become liberated from all troubles and without doubt will be blessed with wealth, food, and beautiful children. Listening to this presentation of my glories, of my auspicious manifestations and my heroic conquering in the battles, people become fearless. Enemies perish, and welfare is generated for those who listen to this narrative of my glories, and their families rejoice. Let my glories be heard everywhere, in functions of peace, upon seeing a bad dream, or to alleviate the adverse effects of positions of the planets. Troubles subside as well as the afflicting influences of the planets. The bad dream seen by people becomes a good dream. It pacifies children affected by the existence of adverse planetary influences. And it is the best cause of friendship when associations of people have divided. It annihilates the strength of evildoers, and its recitation destroys demons, ghosts, and ungodly spirits. This entire narration of my glories makes my presence manifest. With the same satisfaction with which I receive 1 year of worship with offerings of your animalistic nature, flowers, objects of value, incense, perfumes, lights, the feeding of wise people, fire offerings, daily sprinkling of consecrated waters, and the offering of other objects of enjoyment, similar is my gratification for those who, with love for me, recite this excellent narration or listen to it but once. 1 year of puja is equal to one recitation of the chandi. Hearing removes sin and gives freedom from infirmities. However, you should perform puja before you sing the chandi. So 1 year of puja is equal to one recitation of the chandi, but please do the puja first. Those who sing the praise of my births are protected from evil spirits, and the narration of my heroic acts in battle renders evil confusions without strength. After listening to this, fear of enemies is lost. The hymns of praise made by you gods and seers of divinity and by the creative capacity and others as well will bestow auspicious thoughts. On a lonely path in the forest, surrounded by a raging fire, encircled by robbers in a lonely place, captured by enemies, pursued by a lion, tiger, or wild elephants in the jungle, or under orders of an angry king, imprisoned or condemned to death, or tossed about by turbulent winds in a boat on the great sea, or in an intensive battle under heavy fire from opposing weapons, in all terrible afflictions and moments of distress, people who remember my glory will be freed from calamity and anguish. By my power, lions, robbers, and enemies flee to a distance from one who remembers this narration of my glory. The Rishi said, thus having spoken, the Supreme, she who tears apart thought of fierce prowess, disappeared from there while all the gods watched her. Their enemies having been slain, all the gods were freed from disruption of the mind. They all began to enjoy their shares of sacrifices and to exercise their divine authority as before. When those thoughts, enemies of the gods and afflictors of the worlds, self-conceit, greatly fierce and of unequaled prowess, and self-deprecation of great valor, were slain in battle by the goddess, the remaining thoughts entered the lower worlds. Thus, O King, the Supreme Goddess, although eternal, again and again manifests herself for the protection of the worlds. The universe is deluded by her, and is she who creates the universe. Satisfied by prayer, she grants wisdom and perfection. O sovereign of thinking beings, the entire cosmos is pervaded by her, the great goddess who is the intrinsic nature of the great remover of darkness and the great destroyer. So here she's one goddess, she who tears apart thought. She is the great goddess. She is the great remover of darkness. She is the great destroyer. Sometimes she is the great destroyer. Sometimes she, the unborn, becomes the creation. Sometimes she, the eternal, preserves all beings. During the time of welfare, she is the goddess of true wealth in the homes of men, granting increase. In times of misfortune, she herself is calamity and brings about ruin. Praised and worshipped with flowers, perfumes, incense, and other offerings, she bestows understanding, wealth, offspring, and a beautiful mind in the way of truth to wisdom. Oh, these are the fruits that accrue to those who recite the Chandipat. Do we have any questions? This is called the false sruti, the recitation of the fruits. Yes, please, Asish.
I'm trying to understand that the deeper meaning of these fruits. These fruits means nothing.
Nothing?
I mean, I thought she would bestow being with her all, ever.
And she can.
But, I mean, who wants this? The
beautiful children.
I mean, yeah.
Money.
Yeah. But the wealth.
It doesn't have to. She doesn't say money. She says wealth.
Yeah. Anyway.
And I want beautiful children. Look at these beautiful, shining children, fixed in the way of truth to wisdom. And this entire narration manifests her presence. It makes her presence manifest. You wouldn't want that. Of course you would. How could you be with her if she wasn't there? Reciting this makes her presence manifest. What's wrong with wanting that? Wasn't that the objective with which we sat down? To amplify and enhance our relationship with her.
No, I understood that part. It's just the other parts which seem so superficial.
That's right. If you're in the world, then you do want beautiful children. Fixed in the way of wisdom. You do want to have comfort and peace and security. You do want to be free from fear. And you want that for all your family. Now, if you're a god or a goddess, then all you want is to be with her. And we'll get there in the next chapter. But if you're a being of the world, you have every incentive. Why will people not chant her worship? That was the question in the Kilika Stab. When the blessing of the goddess is health and wealth and peace and prosperity and a beautiful mind fixed in the way of truth to wisdom, why will people not chant to worship? Why not? It doesn't mean that we're stuck in worldliness. Here we are extricating ourselves from worldliness. I don't have to provide for the peace and security of my family. She's doing it.
Swamiji, talking about astrology, it mentions
yes.
The effect of the stars.
Yes.
There's a universal consciousness. There's
yes.
The individual soul. And the stars have an effect, let's say, on the soul. The power of the star that's given to them by the god,
it is all her power. She is the Shakti in all and within all. And she, if she is propitiated with complete attention and pure devotion, she'll change the malevolent effects of the stars. She can reduce it. She can nullify it. She can extinguish it. It's her energy. So this Chandipat can alleviate all of the malevolent influences of the stars. If anyone has a problem astrologically, they can remove that problem by reciting the Chandi.
So they create that as well besides the soul. God has created that form of power as
both dharma and adharma, both action and reaction, both positive and the negative. They're all her energies. Are there other questions? Yes, please.
I want to know the concept of beautiful children.
Each of us will decide for ourselves. You've done very, very well with your beautiful children. And she has done even a greater job with her beautiful children. Every one of us has our own concept of beautiful children. There are two types. Well, actually, Devi Bhagavatam, there are five types of children. There's a child that's given birth to from the union of male and female, a biological child. And there's a child that is adopted, taking someone else's biological child. And there is a child that is purchased when you go out and you buy a child. And there's a child who is taken as the spoils of war. And there is a child who is a child because of initiation in wisdom. Now, everyone has our own concept of children. The great story, of course, is the story of Harishchandra. He gave birth to a beautiful son. He wanted to have a child. He was issueless. And he went to his guru, Vashishtha. He said, Vashishtha, you know, Vashishtha was always the guru of the solar dynasty. Harishchandra was the king of Ayodhya. He went to Vashishtha. He said, Vashishtha, I want to have a child. And Vashishtha went deeply into meditation and said, offer puja to Varuna, the lord of waters. And Harishchandra immediately called all the rishis and brahmins, and he made a great puja to Varuna and said, Varuna, I want to have a child, and my guru told me to worship you. And Varuna said, I will give you a child, but you have to give him back to me. I want you to offer the sacrifices, the child in sacrifice when he comes to you. You make him as a sacrifice to me. And Harishchandra, the king, said, there's nothing worse than being without a child. And if I have to give you the child back, at least I will have had a child. So, yes, I agree to your condition. Please give me a child. Harishchandra's wife became pregnant. And she gave birth. And Varuna came and said, okay, king, you got the child. Give me the child and sacrifice. And Harishchandra said, Varuna, the child just came. I haven't even performed the Japa Karma. I didn't even give him a birthday ceremony. I didn't welcome him into this creation. How can I offer you a sacrifice that hasn't even been welcomed? He's not even officially born. And Varuna said, okay, perform the Japa Karma. Perform his birthday celebration. Welcome him into the world, and then offer him in sacrifice. Harishchandra was very happy. He performed the Japa Karma, called all the Brahmins, that gave out lavish gifts. Everyone was pleased by the ceremony and the pujas and by the dakshina. And Varuna came and said, okay, king, give me the child. Well, the story went on quite a while. And on one pretext or another, Harishchandra the king put off Varuna. He said he didn't have his anaprashan, he didn't have his first food, he didn't have his churamuni, he didn't have his mukha, the cutting of his hair, he didn't know the Vedas. And so, one after another, Varuna said, I allow you to keep the child, fulfill your dharma, and then you can give me the child. So Harishchandra sent his son, Rohitashwa was his name. He sent Rohitashwa off to study with the Guru Brihaspati. And now it was time for the Samavartan, the graduation ceremony. And the grown young man, fully knowledgeable in the Vedas, knower of all the Dharma, was returning to his father, having graduated from the guru's ashram. And in the road, Indra came to him and said, Rohit, don't go home. Your father has promised to sacrifice you to Varuna. And if you go home, you know what waits you. Your death. Rohitashva became terrified and ran up into the mountains and hid in a cave. Varuna came to the king, Harishchandra. He said, okay, king, give me the kid. His graduation ceremony is over with. Sacrifice the child and fulfill your dharma. And the king said, well, my child didn't come home yet. Said, the graduation ceremony was long over. You've been putting me off all of these years. If you can't give me the child in sacrifice right now, I'm going to curse you. You will be beset with disease. And Harishchandra, who had never told a lie in his life, was suddenly afflicted with disease. And he said, the pain of this disease is so great, I can't stand this pain. I have to find some way to alleviate the pain. And he went to his Guru Vashishtha. He said, Guru Vashishtha, how can I be free from the pain? This disease is so uncomfortable to me. I can't even administer my kingdom. All of my subjects are suffering. All of my children are suffering. I have to be free from this pain. And Guru Vashishtha said, there are five kinds of children. And see, if you cannot adopt someone, if you did not win someone in the spoils of war, if you didn't, see if you can't purchase a child. Go out through the kingdom and find a poor family that will sell one child, and you can sacrifice that son. So Harishchandra sent out his emissaries all throughout the kingdom. All the soldiers went out in every direction throughout the kingdom, and they went from village to village. Is there any poor family that needs money very badly that can sell their son to the king? And there was a Brahmin named Ajigart. And Ajigart said, I have three sons, and I am very poor. And the oldest one I need in order to perform my funeral rites when I die. And the youngest one is so innocent. I'll sell the middle son. And the middle son's name was Sunashepa. And Ajigartha sold Sunashepa. Now the time for the sacrifice arrived. All the Brahmins and all the rishis, they were going to perform the Naramed, the sacrifice of a human child. They bound him to the post. And Sunashepa was crying pitifully. And the executioner raised his sword above the head of the crying child. And everyone was appalled by the situation. And the executioner said, I can't cut this child. He's crying. Who can cut a crying child when he's tied to a pillar? And Harishchandra said, well, I can't stand the pain anymore. And all the Brahmins said, King, release the child. And the king said, let Varuna release me. The executioner raised his sword again over the child, and the child cried out, and Vishwamitra stood up. And he went to the child, and he gave him initiation in Varuna's beach mantra. And Sunashepa sang the Bandhan Mukta Shukta from the Rig Veda. One of the great, great hymns in the first mandala of the Rig Veda. And he bowed to the seers of the past. He bowed to the seers of the present. He bowed to the seers who were unknown. He bowed to the seers who will come in the future. With one pointed mind, he bowed to them all and asked for the blessings of all of them. And he asked to be relieved from the bondage to the pillar, from the bonds of the gross world and the bonds of the subtle world and the bonds of the causal body. And he asked for complete liberation. And he forgot all about the fact they were going to cut his life, because he entered into eternal life. And Varuna came and said, "I forgive you, King. Release the boy." And the king released the boy with great joy. And the king was freed from all of his disease. Well, Shunashepa stood up amidst the assembly and he said, "With whom shall I go home? Who is my father now?" And some of the Brahmins there said, "Well, Ajigartha was your father, and he is still your father. Once you're a father for life. You go home with Ajigartha." And some of the other Brahmins said, "Well, Harishchandra, the king, purchased you for a price. He paid the price, so you go home. He's your father now because he paid the money." Then Vasishtha stood up in the assembly and he said, "Vishwamitra gave you wisdom, and that wisdom gave you liberation. You go home with Vishwamitra." And all, of course, all the Brahmins applauded that decision. So Shunashepa became the son of Vishwamitra. That's beautiful children. Any other questions? We have a special birthday we're going to celebrate tonight. So, Chima. Ashtabang Chaturdur Dasham, Namnyam. Nahi. To me? That on the 8th and 14th and 9th days of the lunar fortnight indicates the rising of the moon and the setting of the moon. Mother is saying this meaning is that when we are reciting the Chandi, we move towards fullness, and we recite again, and we move towards emptiness. Mi bujina. Bujachi. Tomar ano bad korchi. Paranto. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.